I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is January 28th, 2025, and I wish I had something good to report today, but I don't. Diving right in, we have this headline from CBC: no evidence of traitors in Parliament conspiring with foreign states, public inquiry, but the subtext is final report found government's response to threat lacking. I made the mistake of actually expecting something substantive here. I actually thought the trend would be bucked and we would get some names and we would get some details, but instead, it's just another person appointed by the government to do a cover-up. Now, you can guarantee that if the Conservatives were heavily involved in foreign interference, we would be hearing all about it, considering their position in the polls, but we didn't hear anything. In fact, we didn't get any names at all. And we know that foreign interference impacted certain ridings. We know that multiple state actors like China, India, Pakistan, Russia, and Iran were involved directly. We know that China operates police stations on our soil. We know that China is involved to the tune of billions of dollars in our universities pushing ideology. We know they're involved in our mineral industries and in controlling our wealth. We know that they're involved in shipping the raw ingredients for fentanyl to the labs in this country that produce fentanyl, which is turning our cities into zombie-filled wastelands. But that's not really important to this report, I guess. Government response flaws, intelligence sharing was slow and ineffective, political parties vulnerable, especially in nomination processes, diaspora communities at risk, China targets Hong Kong expats here in this country, China targets Falun Gong people right here in this country. They do what they want on our soil. And it's interesting that they say political parties are vulnerable during nominations. The Khalistani Sikhs took over the NDP. Who do you think put Jagmeet Singh in power for that party? And how did that work out for Canadian democracy? He even broke his word to them. He promised he wouldn't take their guns, but he's been supporting the Liberals the entire time when it comes to their policy on targeting lawful, legal gun owners. And he's put the entire country on hold so that he can secure his pension. We kind of knew all this stuff already. The report denies that there are traitors in Parliament. Despite all concerns that are listed, the recommendations are broad, but they don't actually address systemic core problems. And there's no immediate accountability for anybody in office. There's no action suggested before the next election. There isn't a single person that's going to be held accountable for taking foreign money. There isn't a single person in this country that's going to be held accountable for allowing our government and allowing our institutions to be sold out to the highest bidder from these despotic countries. Months of collecting evidence, documents, and interviews have added up into this nothing burger report, a waste of taxpayer money that once again does not address core issues whatsoever. If you're not frustrated as a Canadian, I don't know what it's going to take. Ottawa planning, this is the next headline from the Globe and Mail, Ottawa planning pandemic-level relief for workers, businesses, if Trump imposes tariffs. I hate these headlines because they're so misleading. Trump imposing tariffs is happening for specific reasons which our government refuses to directly address. We need diplomacy here. We need wit and we need charm. And we need to be able to call Trump's bluff, if indeed it's a bluff, on the border and on the fent problem and the interference problem and the cartels taking over our ports. That's what we need to do. But instead, the government is circling the wagons, protecting our terrible border practices, protecting the cartels that are at work in Canada, protecting people through the report we just looked at, protecting those who are interfering in our country's internal workings with foreign money and influence. They're protecting them. So this isn't so much about Trump imposing tariffs. This is about Canada sparking a trade war. So the headline is misleading right off the hop. It's like the media, which is funded by the government, like, I mean, seriously, folks, you got to think about this. Your media in this country, supposedly free and independent, is funded millions and millions and millions of dollars by the federal government these days. So is it any wonder that they pick headlines that circle the wagons of the federal government? They're not standing up for Canada. They're standing up for the people in Parliament. Now, this pandemic-level relief, we've already talked about this. This was to be expected. First thing is, they can't actually get it done without a vote of Parliament. So this program that they're looking to impose as a response to the trade war cannot even be voted on until the 23rd of March. So if Trump moves ahead February 1st, and I see no reason for him not to, start imposing tariffs, there's 2 months of suffering ahead of us before they can even do this. And what is this going to do? They're going to print massive amounts of money that they do not have. So they're going to use inflation to solve a financial crisis. Do you know what's going to happen? Inflation is, it's when you inflate the money supply, you take money right out of savers' pockets and you distribute it to other people. They're going to kill the dollar. So we're sitting at whatever it is today, 63 cents, 64 cents, 60 cents, 55 cents, 50 cents. These are the things that are coming because the more they print, the worse it's going to get. These guys, in the name of saving Canada, are actually implementing a plan that will lead to the dissolution of this country. Don't call me a bad guy for saying that some premiers who have some vision should be talking with the United States to see what kind of a deal we can cut, because these guys are on a trajectory to completely implode this country anyway. The sovereignists are about to take power in Quebec. They're going to push for another referendum. It's more bribery. It's more blackmail. Are they even part of the Federation? They didn't ratify it. Why are they getting all the advantages of equalizations when Quebec hasn't even become an official part of the country by ratifying the Articles of Confederation? This country is irreparably broken. Policies like this, engaging in a trade war, which is nowhere in the headline, starting a trade war with the United States, going full tilt, cutting off energy supplies, all the things that we are talking about doing leads to our own destruction. As we all know, Doug Ford is about to trigger an election in Ontario in the middle of a national crisis. Mr. Team Canada himself, co-lead with Justin Trudeau, is going to leave Ontario without a government. And it looks like his poll numbers are weakening as support for the Liberal Party is up, way up. From the last election, there's a very real chance that he doesn't get a strong government, that he gets a minority government, or, heavens for friend, the Liberals and the NDP are able to form a coalition and foil him. Doug Ford, a strong mandate needed to protect Ontario. It is absurd to me, in light of what we just talked about, with the unprecedented money printing. Actually, it's not without precedent. We did it during COVID. But arguably, we had more justification during COVID because now we're going to print money. Now we're going to destroy the Canadian dollar. Now, this guy who wants a mandate from you is going to single-handedly put hundreds of thousands of Ontario workers out of work. You think things are bad now with the price of housing. You think things are bad now with the price of food. Just you wait until this episode of our history gets going. We're almost reaching the end of history. The post-national state that Justin Trudeau forecast, that is the moment that Canada is heading into. He wants a strong mandate to make sure that he can bury this country and Ontario. And the worst part is, you can vote Liberal and you can vote NDP, you're going to end up in the exact same place. They're going to align with the federal government, which isn't even sitting until the 23rd of March when they're going to start this money printing program. It's kind of crazy, actually, because between now and the 23rd of March, Jagmeet Singh can change his mind for the unity of the country. The Liberals can pick their leader, which is going to be Mark Carney, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more next. They're going to pick their leader, and Singh can say, at that point, we can't afford an election. We've seen how damaging elections can be in the middle of national crisis. So he can change his tune. This guy has drawn a dozen red lines with the Liberal government, and he's let them dance over every single one. You can't trust a word out of that man's mouth. He's less trustworthy than Justin Trudeau. So you could very well not get an election. These programs could be in full swing. And by the way, if there was an election or if there isn't an election, whenever Polyev and the CPC assumes office, the programs will be of force and effect, and Polyev supports the trade war. He can use as many mealy-mouthed words as he wants to, and you can come up with as many justifications. I understand politics. I understand the game they're playing. I understand that not standing with Team Canada is perceived as something that would lose support. But this destruction that's coming if we proceed down this path, he supports it too. So it seems baked in that our leaders want to weaken the dollar, want to put you out of work, want to make life hard for millions of Canadians, and they want to sell it as saving Canada. And it makes me sick how duplicitous they are and that they can get away with it and that people will signal their support for this. They don't know what's coming. They have no idea what a trade war with the United States means because none of them are economists. They're not even pseudo-couch economists. They don't really think about the long-term lasting consequences. They barely understand the effects of inflation. They look at prices and they say prices are going up. Prices aren't going up. Your dollar's being devalued. But these are the kinds of details that seem to be beyond the normal average person. The 50% of Canada that still supports voting left, and the other chunk that seems to accept Doug Ford, even though he is just right of the NDP. He's literally campaigning to destroy Ontario, and he needs a strong mandate to do it. So I guess you're going to give it to him, or you're going to give it to one of the other options. Or I suppose you can go New Blue, or you can go with the Ontario Party. Those are options at your disposal. But I seriously lack faith in the public's vision to do anything different than we've been doing all along. We're going to just walk into perdition, which is why I say at the provincial level, first off, vote with your feet. If you don't like what's going on in the rest of the country and you feel like you're isolated, come west before it's too late. And then secondly, Scott Moe and Premier Smith need to chart a very different path from the rest of this country. Looking out for the people here, first and primarily. This from Scott Moe today. Our government has always stood up for Saskatchewan and against the Liberal NDP carbon tax when the federal government exempted home heating oil from the carbon tax in an attempt to save Liberal seats in Atlantic Canada. We took immediate action to restore fairness for Saskatchewan families. This act by the government of Saskatchewan is unlawful, therefore illegal, and provides the blueprint for how we have to proceed moving forward. If we obey the lawful orders of Ottawa, we're going to suffer and starve alone in the dark, in the middle of winter. These people are playing with fire. At the same time as they're going through a leadership election in the Liberal Party of Canada, the guy who's looking like he's going to win, the premier globalist himself, the man who tanked the British economy, running the Bank of England, somehow, how is it that the Liberal Party's heroes are now central bankers? When did the Liberal Party become the party of central banks? You got to be kidding me. This man's only problem with our carbon tax here in Canada is that it's not high enough. He's on the record as saying it's not high enough. Meanwhile, in the United States, Donald Trump is talking about getting rid of the income tax. Getting rid of it, not lowering it, getting rid of it. Creating a business environment favorable to business, like the most favorable, I don't know how else to say it, the most favorable business climate in the entire world. Right next door is our country, which is going to hyperinflate our dollars through this pandemic-style relief plan so that they can execute and prosecute their trade war. So our income as a nation is going to go down at the same time as they're going to inflate the money supply. What do you think is going to happen? Doug Ford wants a strong mandate to make sure that he can implement the destruction of Ontario. What do you think is going to happen? You remember that giant sucking sound I was talking about? It hasn't even started yet. Hasn't even got rolling, but people can smell the scent of destruction on the air. PV Mart to shut down all Canadian stores. All those retail jobs, all those sales gone because it's cheaper to not do business in Canada than to try and make money here. Co-Mart to close. Clio and Ricky's change amid challenges. This is just the beginning. Because when you hyperinflate the dollar, when you commit to carbon taxes, when you make policy like this, Canada can use electricity for leverage if U.S. starts trade war. Once again, misleading headlines brought to you by National Post. The U.S. is not starting a trade war. The U.S., as they've stated, the Trump administration has stated they're leveling tariffs because of a fentanyl and human trafficking problem, because of border issues, because of cartel influence in our ports, because Canada is a security risk. All the executive orders point towards that outcome. The executive order, when it comes to energy production being a national emergency, should really raise some red flags here in Canada. Instead, we're generating headlines like this, using electricity as leverage if U.S. starts trade war. So we'll cut off their energy. We'll cut off the oil. When they've declared a national emergency, what army are we going to fight this war with when it goes kinetic? Because there's a very real, there's a real possibility, there's a real chance that it goes kinetic. I don't know when, I don't know how long it takes, and I can't put a probability on it. But it is far more than zero. Stellantis, they're trying to mitigate the damage, but Stellantis is talking about their plans for opening assembly plants in Illinois and building up their presence in the United States, in Ohio, in Michigan. That's bad news for Canada. Amazon is pulling out because of the rules and regulations in Quebec, because of union issues. Canadian, like, we are in bad shape, and all of our politicians seem to be united around making the situation worse. And I am here begging people to understand and ready themselves, because it's not just headlines. Canada is about to enter into a period of national crisis unlike any that most of us in living memory have ever experienced. It's not hyperbole. The policies and positions that they are adopting lead directly to a national crisis. And nobody seems to be hitting the brakes. Now, in all likelihood, Mark Carney is going to be the next prime minister of this country. That is, if all the new members of the Liberal Party that are signing up en masse, now that they can't vote for Arya, vote for someone else. They might be able to put a monkey wrench in the Liberal Party's plans. Look, I think Ford is setting himself up to have a big monkey wrench thrown in his plans. Why not have the Liberal Party leadership race turn into a gong show where the unexpected happens? Anything to weaken Canada seems to be what our politicians want to do. So any outcome is on the table. But that being said, now Buckingham Palace, this is the headline from the Daily Mail, now Buckingham Palace admits Prince Andrew paid for bank boss's party. Now, Prince Andrew, the associate of Jeffrey Epstein, paid for parties for Mark Carney. So not only is this guy's name on your money, not only did he drive England's pound down and just literally pounded the British economy, not only did he get involved politically when the Bank of England is supposed to be somewhat impartial, not only did he do the bidding of the globalists while he was here in charge of our bank. This guy couldn't be more top of the food chain if you wanted to. They're trying to sell him as a champion of the middle class and the lower classes. This guy is oligarchy personified. And not just that, his associates, the people you hang out with, say a lot about you. And he's having his parties bankrolled by people known to engage in the sex crimes of Jeffrey Epstein. Does it mean he's directly guilty? No, but all the associates of these people seem to have something in common. And liberals, you are pushing this guy as the next prime minister? And Jagmeet Singh is probably going to prop him up? I don't think we're going to get that election. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. If we get into this trade war and it gets kicked off and people are unemployed and we got to get that trade war relief bill passed where we print money and give it to people, well, Singh's got his excuse to back out on triggering an election. Polyev could be the greatest potential Conservative Party leader that never sits in office. Because if we war game this out, Canada has a sovereignty crisis that nobody can solve. I touched on this yesterday, and I've touched on the implications in several recent videos, and I'm telling anybody who's got this far, if you're new to the channel, go watch the other videos, because there's so much there, because my goal is to try and make people understand how much trouble this country's in and the potential to get a good deal, which could actually make for a better future for a lot of Canadians if we're smart enough to strike while the iron's hot. Before things spiral out of control, we have to strike provincially. The provinces have the capacity to be independent of the Federation. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because we're going to get lost in the weeds if I go down that road right now. We have the capacity to make our own decisions. We need to start making our own decisions. And here's another reason why. Trudeau to fill Senate vacancies before retiring. Source: government preparing to fill all 10 vacant seats in coming weeks. They already control. Radical progressive activists already control 85% of the Senate chamber. And to reiterate, the Senate in this country is not elected. It's appointed, and they serve until they're 75 years old. This is a roadblock, a deliberate leaving of an imprint on the country that will defy any attempts at reform for decades to come. Essentially, Trudeau is checkmating Canada. He's locking in the status quo, which is so destructive for everybody. The high tax regime getting higher all the time, right beside the United States that's becoming pro-business and lowering taxes. The idea of actually reforming the Federation so we have an elected Senate, we have an elected Governor General, we have greater autonomy for the provinces, passed and approved by the people of this country, the Senate will oppose all of it. If by some miracle the Senate were to wake up, the 85 to 90% of the Senate that's controlled by these radicals, they wake up and they vote in favor of something that actually advances good policy for this country, there's the judiciary to get through, which is all stacked with progressive radicals now. The Trudeau government and the government of the Liberal Party does not leave office when they get defeated in an election, because these people practically serve for life. Do you have an understanding now that Canada, whatever you wish, whatever you believe, whatever memory you're hanging on to, Canada as we know it is gone. The only thing we can do now is undo the legacy of Father Trudeau from 1982 and the provinces strike out and make their own destiny. Otherwise, it is a road to perdition. I can't emphasize that enough. Trump puts those tariffs down. We start a trade war. Canada loses in every conceivable possible way, and you have been warned. I personally found this to be a really good article, Insights from Short-Lived U.S. Trade War with Colombia. You may have heard how Colombia refused to take deportees on military planes from the United States, and Trump threatened to slap them with tariffs that same hour. And then the Colombians backed down. They offered their very own presidential plane to come and pick the detainees up. Then they flirted with the idea of retaliatory tariffs. Then they completely backed down and folded to all of Trump's demands. I wish Canada was smart enough, considering how dependent our leaders. All of these things are tied together. The leadership of this country for a decade plus, it's actually a lot longer, but it's really accelerated in the last decade, has made us entirely dependent on the U.S. economy. They have resisted every chance to build resilience for Canada, and they've destroyed the dream of Fortress Canada. But we're not smart enough, in light of those circumstances, to fold like Colombia. Max Payne is the policy of Team Canada, and they're never going to feel it. The people selling this idea to you are never going to share your pain. Trump is serious, and we need to take him seriously. He is not screwing around this time. When he was done dealing with Colombia just yesterday, he tweeted on Truth Social a picture of him in a suit with a gangsta hat with FAFO written on a sign. So he's a meme lord, but he's also very serious. And anybody who fails to take him serious this time does so at their own peril. Understand, Canada has been made dependent on the Americans. That's where we are. And when we cut them off, when we trigger a trade war in response to tariffs, it's going to hurt us so much more than it will hurt the United States. And maybe there's a chance this all works out. Maybe there's a chance that Trump blinks. But in the first week of the Trump administration, have you seen any sign that he's going to blink? Has he given you even a hint of weakness? I touched on this yesterday, and I've touched on the implications in several recent videos, and I'm telling anybody who's got this far, if you're new to the channel, go watch the other videos, because there's so much there, because my goal is to try and make people understand how much trouble this country's in, and the potential to get a good deal, which could actually make for a better future for a lot of Canadians if we're smart enough to strike while the iron's hot. Before things spiral out of control, we have to strike provincially. The provinces have the capacity to be independent of the Federation. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because we're going to get lost in the weeds if I go down that road right now. We have the capacity to make our own decisions. We need to start making our own decisions. And here's another reason why. Trudeau to fill Senate vacancies before retiring source. Government preparing to fill all 10 vacant seats in coming weeks. They already control. Radical progressive activists already control 85% of the Senate chamber. And to reiterate, the Senate in this country is not elected. It's appointed, and they serve until they're 75 years old. This is a roadblock, a deliberate leaving of an imprint on the country that will defy any attempts at reform for decades to come. Essentially, Trudeau is checkmating Canada. He's locking in the status quo, which is so destructive for everybody. The high tax regime getting higher all the time, right beside the United States that's becoming pro-business and lowering taxes. The idea of actually reforming the Federation so we have an elected Senate, we have an elected Governor General, we have greater autonomy for the provinces, passed and approved by the people of this country, the Senate will oppose all of it. If by some miracle the Senate were to wake up, the 85 to 90% of the Senate that's controlled by these radicals, they wake up and they vote in favor of something that actually advances good policy for this country, there's the judiciary to get through, which is all stacked with progressive radicals now. The Trudeau government and the government of the Liberal Party does not leave office when they get defeated in an election, because these people practically serve for life. Do you have an understanding now that Canada, whatever you wish, whatever you believe, whatever memory you're hanging on to, Canada as we know it is gone. The only thing we can do now is undo the legacy of Father Trudeau from 1982 and the provinces strike out and make their own destiny. Otherwise, it is a road to perdition. I can't emphasize that enough. Trump puts those tariffs down, we start a trade war, Canada loses in every conceivable possible way, and you have been warned. In addition to all the very real things that I've been highlighting lately in my videos about Canada's position and how weak it is, let me just give you a brief list that I've compiled. We have a decline in GDP per capita. From the second quarter of 2019 to the end of 2023, Canada's inflation-adjusted per-person GDP fell by 3%. We are not as productive as we used to be. We have the worst growth rate among developed economies since 2020. Population growth is outpacing economic growth, poor productivity growth, long-term stagnation in living standards, which are about to get worse if they print money in response to this trade war. If they do the things they're going to do, if the Americans cut taxes the way they're going to cut taxes, it only exacerbates not only the stagnation in living standards, but the decline. We have a decrease in business investment. Business investment per worker in Canada has declined by 20% from 2014 to 2021, adjusted for inflation, which is one of the lowest among the OECD countries. We have a comparative decline in wealth. Canada's GDP per capita has dropped to 73% of that of the United States, down from 92% in 1981. You're getting poorer while the Liberals are telling you you're getting richer. Recession in per capita terms. Canada has been in a per capita recession with declining GDP per person for six consecutive quarters into 2024. with no immediate signs of recovery, no immediate signs at all, because the policies of the state are going to make it worse. They're setting us up to fail. I'm not the bad guy. I'm telling you what they're doing. We have high debt levels. Household debt to income ratios in Canada are among the highest in the G7. So we have economic fragility because of that. We're falling behind our competitors. Since 2000, Canada has fallen from the sixth most productive economy in the OECD in 1970 to 18th by 2022, showing a significant long-term decline. We have high unemployment growth. Canada witnessed an increase in the unemployment rate by 1.6 percentage points since post-pandemic lows. We have a decline in manufacturing. This is really damaging. This is the gutting of Canada that I've been talking about. This puts a little number on it. But the fact is, we're not makers anymore. We're a resource colony. That's what I mean when I say resource colony. We take raw stuff out of the ground and we export it to the world, and they make stuff and sell it back to us. We don't make things. Manufacturing, once nearly 30% of Canada's GDP, has decreased to about 10%, and that's by 2017. We don't have more current numbers. The trend has just gone down. It's not 10% anymore. It's going down. We're not makers. We're a resource colony. We have the housing affordability crisis, which will only get worse as we hyperinflate the dollar. No wage growth. I was talking to a fellow this morning. He was actually talking about the decreasing worth of a Canadian passport and the problems that he runs into using a Canadian passport these days, because we have such a loose standard of immigration, because we have such a problem structurally with this country. People are trusting what used to be a gold certified, and that's just a term I'm coming up with. You couldn't get better than a Canadian passport. Now it's becoming cheapened because we are so lax in our standards. So other countries like third world countries or developing world countries like Mexico are looking at Canadians with increased scrutiny. It only gets worse from here. The housing affordability crisis, that's where I was going with that. The housing affordability crisis. When this fella bought a house many, many moons ago, it was $130,000. Now the same house is worth $700,000 or $800,000, and wages haven't gone up very much at all, especially if you adjust for inflation. Printing more money and distributing it, triggering a trade war which will drive unemployment through the roof. These are all things that just make the situation worse. You'll have increased housing costs. It'll be more expensive to feed your family. It'll be more expensive to keep your family warm. And if you have a job at all, your money isn't going to go as far because of inflation. And as if you need it, here is another example of how unserious a country we are. A man blocked a bridge in Kelowna, claimed he had explosives. Could have been a big terrorist attack. But what does the RCMP have to do before they talk about the real issue?
Morning. My name is Corporal Michael Gauthier, Media Relations Officer with the Kelowna Central Okanagan RCMP Detachment. Firstly, we acknowledge and respect that this land is the traditional and unceded territory of the Silks Okanagan people who have resided here since time immemorial.
We can't even get through a police press briefing anymore without doing a land acknowledgement. Every single hockey game in Edmonton has to have a land acknowledgement. Land acknowledgements do nothing for anybody. They attack our history. They attack statues. They do land acknowledgements because they're easy virtue signaling, empty things that they can do. It looks like you're doing something, but you're actually doing nothing. Here we are today, faced with national crisis plethora. None of these things solve those crises. None of those things bring us together and move us into the future. They're all designed to divide. And who's going to conquer? Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.